For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
Welcome, my friends, to episode, what the fuck episode number?
208.
208?
Yeah.
Wow. Welcome, my friends, to episode number 208 of MSR Cast, your metal podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
What's up, man?
A lot of music.
Always.
A lot of old music for me.
Yeah.
I've been going back and just kind of like listening to older albums and stuff. And a lot of it was because we were seeing Hammerfall like a week or so ago, which we'll talk about later. But yep.
Maybe somebody in this room might have gone through the entire catalog after that show. I'm not going to say it was me, but it was me.
I listened to a lot of their albums before that show. And I don't know, it's kind of slowed down new music-wise a little bit in this past month, at least for me. There was a lot of stuff that just wasn't catching my attention. The stuff that did catch my attention that I'm going to talk about today, tonight, was great. But it hasn't been a high-volume month like May or April was.
Sure.
Which is fine, because I needed some time to listen to some other stuff anyway. It's a brief aside from metal, but I like listening to other non-metal stuff, and I've been listening to the new Florence and the Machine album that came out on Friday.
Which I saw them really live good on one of the late night talk shows.
Yeah,
last week.
Yeah,
I gotta say, dude, I don't really get them.
I love her. I think she's great. I'm gonna see him in September.
I don't get her stage presence, and maybe what it is for me.
I don't know. I think her songs are enchanting. But yeah, I'm going
to
see her at the Woodlands in September 30th. My first time being back on the lawn in ages. I think last time I went to a lawn show was like 2008.
I went to a lawn show last year when I saw Deep Purple.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I like it. I like getting up to almost to the top over there and just kind of like, especially because I don't really feel the need to be that close to see them. Just sit up there with a beer and chill out and, you know. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Sounds like a good time.
Yep.
So let's talk about the first band we played this evening.
Yeah.
Chemist.
I've
been in this band for a little while, and I really love this new album so far.
I'm enjoying this new album. This is one of those bands where I heard about them ages back on their last album, which got a lot of critical praise and stuff a few years ago.
2016?
Yeah,
when it first came out?
2016, yeah. And this is a band that just I didn't get it. It didn't register for me, and this time I really have focused on trying to get into it. I'm still not like 100% with it. I think there's something blocking me musically or something, but this particular song is excellent, and it has this great addictive riff there, and I'm like, okay, this I can see why
they're okay. So let's sort of describe a little bit. They're classified as American Doom.
Right.
They're from Denver. But, I mean, I definitely do hear some Doom element, but it's the same type of, if you wanted to call Baroness or that type of, that guitar tone.
Yeah.
It's Doom, but it's not, it's American Doom. It's not what you first imagine Doom. When I first hear Doom, first thing that comes to my mind is Candlemass. Trouble, Black Sabbath, that type of stuff is that slow, heavy guitar riff. This is not like that.
It's sort of like Baroness's tone mixed with Grand Magus, sort of. Especially on this new album, where it's a lot of like more traditional metal stuff they mixed into it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of trad stuff in here.
Yeah. Especially this song. I mean, there's other parts of the album where I'm just sort of, I don't know. I'm still working on it.
I missed them when they came here last year. They played like at a brewery somewhere.
Figures.
Yeah. I think it was like maybe St. Arnold's or something like that. I can't remember which brewery it was, but it was a free show too. And I was planning to go to it, but I just didn't get to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like these guys a lot.
If they come back around, I'll make a point to go see them.
This is Chemist. Chemmis.
The reason why because I was probably not going to even listen to this unless we played it on the show. The reason why I went out of my way to listen to it.
I'm surprised
was,
you had it on the list.
Well, you know, Adrian Bergrand is a writer I respect, and I follow him on Twitter. And he
used to be part of Metal Maniacs.
Yeah,
back in the day. Yeah.
And he tweeted talking about this album, and I asked him about it. And he's like, "Really, just give it a shot." So I did, and I don't know. I say I'm about 75% with it, and then the other 25% still a hang up. So
okay,
yeah.
Very cool. I like it. So it's interesting. You're not usually into this style, but I'm glad that you are.
I have made more of an effort in the past year to approach Doom with a more open mind, you know, where it's because some of that's because, you know, it's the reason why the Mirror Reaper album by Bellwitch ended up on my top 10.
This is a band that can be classified as what I've heard people say is vest metal. Because this is the type of band that you wear like a blue jean jacket, and you have this band patch on your jacket.
Do you also have a big, full?
You have a full beard, yeah.
And an IPA in the other hand.
You do. I don't.
Not casting any aspersions. I'm just saying.
I don't drink beer myself, but
I mostly hear about this band from non-metal websites, so it's got that kind of connotation to it. But I'm not accusing them of being I'm sure they're just a bunch of metal guys playing metal. So
the hipster crowd is just lobbed onto them.
Yeah, just sort of co-opt. Yeah,
but it's okay though.
It's fine.
There's plenty of other metal for them to discover from finding these bands.
Yeah,
like the next band, which I've never even heard of before.
Well, you know what's funny? I haven't heard of these guys either, but I have. So there's two bands There's two bands called Ex Libris. I've always been a fan of Ex Libris, starring Diane Van Giersbergen from the Netherlands. This was the band that she was in before she went out and to join Xandria, and now that she left Xandria.
No relation to Annika Van Giersbergen.
Right, no relation. But they are friends.
Is that a common last name, I guess, in the Netherlands?
So. Yeah, it's like Smith or Jones. Right. But she joined back with Ex Libris, and they've been crowdfunding a new album, and they're in the studio right now. Anyway, this band, Ex Libris, see, her Ex Libris is X space Libris. This Ex Libris is just one word, and they're from Poland, and they're a power metal band, sort of in the vein of Theocracy, with a little touch of Sonata Arctica, and I don't know, maybe like Mercenary or Heavenly or something like that.
But
it's a really polished take on power metal, and this album is just sort of like, it's not breaking any new ground. It's nothing, you know, like challenging. It's just ear pleasing power metal. That is really great for the summer, you know, like it's summer music. It's just like, I want some easy choruses. I want some great guitar solos and some meaty hooks.
Sounds like Hammerfall to me.
You know, because it's freaking hot outside and I just need some instant gratification because everything else is annoying me in my car or whatever. So I'll blast this and it'll help me get through the day. That's what this album is. And appropriately enough, this song is called Shoot for the Sun that we're going to be playing. More shoot at the sun. Just go away.
Right.
Step back like 5 feet. But yeah, I like it. It's just uncomplicated. The album's called Inertia. Two N's. This band has to just be difficult about everything. Can't even find an original band name. But you know, the funny thing is,
can't spell things correctly.
Yeah, I was looking at their metal archives. This is the first time I've been aware of them. They've been around since 06.
You were six? Wait, what?
Since 06.
06, okay.
And the original, or the other Ex Libris, they've been around since 03. So they've both been around. And I wonder at some point, did they ever just like reach out to each other and go, hey, could you maybe consider, you know, you guys take another name or something? I'm sure they've had these discussions.
Well, I don't think either of them are big enough. It's probably what it is.
But it's confusing enough.
Yeah.
Because the reason why I heard about these guys were they were being one of the guys in the power metal Reddit were talking about them, and you know, I naturally thought they were talking about the symphonic metal band, and even some of those guys.
I like
the
cover too; it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a solid album. I mean, it's honestly like a really pleasing album. It's not going to make my top 10 probably, but it's just.
And they misspelled Amorphous.
They did
on the album. Actually, they probably spelled it the correct way.
They probably spelled it the right way.
Amorphous, P-H-O-U-S. But yeah, this anytime I hear the word inertia, reminds me of Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Which, speaking of, that documentary, Scream for Me, Sarajevo,
I haven't seen it yet.
Came out on Blu-ray. I haven't seen it yet. I actually am debating whether to pick it up just to watch it.
I heard that the soundtrack might be on Spotify now. So
Spotify. I heard something else is on Spotify now.
Ah, nice transition.
Nice segue. So I have some little bit of house cleaning we can do here before we get into Ex Libris. MSRcast and Metal Geeks are both on Spotify now. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for my submission to go through, like months. And then I saw a bunch of my podcast friends are like, oh, yeah, we're on Spotify now. I'm like, wait, what am I doing wrong? So I went to my account of the company that hosts our show. Apparently, all I had to do was sign up for a different plan. And I signed up for that plan, paid the difference. Within 4 minutes of submitting my show, both shows to Spotify, we were accepted and on the platform. Seriously, 4 minutes is all it took.
So you just had to be in another tier, basically.
But it's a better tier.
Okay.
It's which is, I'll tell you some of the, I'm not going to say it now, but I'll tell you during the break.
Okay.
I don't want to give out all the behind the scenes magic, you know what I'm saying?
But it's convenient because they're both on the same, just like as is on iTunes, they're both on the same feed.
Yeah, so now we're on, exactly, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Google Play, we're on everywhere you can find a podcast now. And if, I mean, it's both shows, you don't have to listen to both shows, but if you listen to Metal Geeks and you like what we do there, listen to this show. I mean, you're already listening to this show, but Metal Geeks fans will listen to this show and find new metal to get into, and then Metal Geek or MSRcast fans can listen to our other show and hear us geek poetic on all kinds of topics.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I want to give a shout out to friend of the show real quick. Larry Roberts and Vito from November's Doom have a new podcast called Geeking Poetic. They're just about to put the third episode out, and they don't hold any punches back. And they're on YouTube as well. They do live video on YouTube. YouTube versions of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
It's fun. It's really good.
So they do audio and the
video. They do audio and the video version of it.
Him and who else?
I can't remember the female on the show. Okay. I can't remember her name. But Vito from November's Doom. Vito Marchese.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm not butchering your name, man. But yeah, it's a fun show. They used to do the Doomcast a long time ago. Yeah, so they've
I think you mentioned that a long time.
Yeah, they've podcasted before, so it's not anything new to them. But they talk about the band briefly.
Yeah,
but it's mostly what we do on Metal Geeks. Like they reviewed Solo and they talk about their favorite Stephen King books and movies and stuff like that. It's really cool.
I have like 5 geek related podcasts on my subscription.
Throw this one into your loop. Yeah, I mean, I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah,
because I mean, if you like the band, you would you'll get to it's something different. It's not just some guys. Well, they are some guys talking about geeky stuff, but it's people that in band that I love. You know,
really quickly, I want to give a shout out in particular to the guys who do the Powerful podcast. It's Powerful, period, a power metal podcast.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
It's these guys from the power metal subreddit, and they're only 8 episodes deep, but they landed Hansi freaking Kirsch as a guest. And if you're a Blind Guardian fan in the slightest, you want to listen to this because it's exclusively an interview about Tolkien, about Hansi's interest in Tolkien.
Wow.
How he incorporated Tolkien and how he chose to incorporate.
Are they on Spotify?
It's on, I don't know if it's, I think it is on Spotify, actually.
What do they call it? What's the show called?
I'm going to look it up right now. It's called Powerful.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Two words?
One word, Powerful. And it's a great episode. It's a great interview. They did it over Skype, and there's 4 people on the call, but they did a great job of managing the interview, and Hansi gave out details that I didn't know, such as Andre was the guy who insisted they use Tolkien as a lyrical reference point to begin with, which I always thought was a Hansi kind of inspired motive, but it turns out it was Andre who urged them in that direction. And then the depth they get into when they're talking about Nightfall and Middle-earth, like why he chose the subject matter he chose, the particular stories in the Silmarillion. If you're at all interested in Tolkien or that album, you're interested in songwriting, period, it is a must listen to, one of the best episodes of a podcast, any podcast I've heard in a long time. And great job by those guys. Can't recommend it enough. We're going to need something to fill the void of podcasts that are going away.
Oh, we're not going there.
I know
what you're talking about. Enjoy your burrito and let's just move on.
I know.
So let's get into Ex Ilibris.
Ex Libris.
Ex Libris, sorry. And it's the first time I've ever heard it, so we'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Catching a clean.
Welcome back, MSRcast 208. And that pair of tracks was,
it's Paradox.
I think it was emblematic of the music you want to hear during the summer.
Sometimes metal is enough.
Metal is enough, but you want to hear a certain type of metal, you know? And this is a kind of piggybacking off our Hammerfall experience of, like, just, you know,
Talk about our Hammerfall experience.
Just, but, you know, like a band that just delivers, you know, the goods. Like, I don't really need complicated, you know, 50-minute long black metal albums right now. I need just something instant and fun and light.
It's not wintertime. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and light tone. I can't listen to Blackwater Park right now. What are you talking about? It's 100 degrees outside, you know? I need something that reminds me of summer. I very much have this thing in the summer where I go back and I start playing, like, you know, like classic Scorpions and stuff like that, and kind of getting into like Maiden again and stuff, and just like stuff that is not necessarily associated with the season, like lyrically or anything, just something that's appropriate for the season.
Power metal summer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Night Flight Orchestra. It's like their fourth album already.
And second one in 2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
I mean, we were just talking about a new album in 2017 from these guys. And I really
I love that laugh.
I liked it a lot.
Amber Galactic?
I mean, there were songs in there I really love. And then this one, you know, when we heard that first song they released from it, I think we were both kind of like, eh, on it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I've been listening to this past week, or past few days, really, and I am enjoying it. I don't know if it's as much as the last one, but I don't really care. I mean, this song was great. There's another song on here that I was going to play called Turn to Miami, I think. And they just did a video for it, a ridiculous video for it.
Of course.
Where, I mean, it really looks like Miami circa 1984. I am excited about this band in a way that I haven't been excited about Soilwork. Not to always throw that back into Bjorn's face, you know, but I am with this project on him, you know. I think he sounds like he loves doing this, and the songwriting's so great, and they're just so passionate about it. It's like, if this becomes your main priority, no one's going to be mad. At least I'm not going to be mad.
His voice is well suited for this style of music.
Yeah, he's a fantastic singer. He's just getting better and better. There's that one song on that last record where I thought he just had amazing vocals. The ballad, was it Jenny or something like that? It was like we were saying, that every one of these like bands of this era that they're hearkening back to had a song based on a woman's name.
Amanda, Jenny, Christine,
Rosanna with Toto, and Carrie, Europe.
Carrie, that's right, me. There was Matt Harvey was talking about Night Flight Orchestra from Exhumed, and he said there's another band that's just coming out called Crey, C-R-E-Y-E. They're totally,
it was great.
I played it for you.
It was great.
He's like, yep, it's all, you got me. You had me at Christine.
Yeah. Yeah, it was song Christina.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Just awesome hook. Like overdone keyboards and stuff, and I love it. Yep. Yeah.
Very 80s. Unlike Ex Libris. I want to put the I before the L for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that album a lot. Just enjoyable, simple power metal. I mean, complex enough, you know, you get your complex, but like the other day I was driving back home and I was just playing like classic Halloween. I guess that's just what I want to hear right now, you know.
I love Halloween. There's still a possibility you might be seeing them live in the next few months.
Okay.
I don't know, we're still working out the details.
Yeah,
but yeah,
do a Texas show, for God's sakes. Halloween.
There is no Texas show, man. There's Chicago, New Orleans, New York, Las Vegas, L.A., and there's like Montreal or Toronto. I can't remember which one.
I think it was Montreal, yeah.
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 We're looking to maybe go to the Chicago show. We have to go up there for some family business, and it just might coincide with a Halloween show.
Some metal business.
The first and only time I've ever seen Halloween was in Chicago when I was there visiting family, And Yogg-Panzer was opening up with Pissing Razors.
Huh.
It was weird back in the day. They put out new music recently, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that band name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into some depressive black metal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Happy summertime to you, buddy.
Well, happy summertime.
The band is called UADA.
Yeah.
UADA, not you ought to know, but I don't know if I'm pronouncing that.
No, that's how I've heard it pronounced.
They're categorized melodic black metal, but I definitely see them at a different level than that. There's definitely some traditional guitar work in there. It's different than just black metal. Now it's not, you can't really use that as an overall over-encompassing genre name. You know what I mean?
You got to have some other description with it. It's just too vague a term.
It blends. Some of these bands now, they blend so many different styles and categories. It's not fair just to call them black metal, even though their vocals might have that traditional black metal screech.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Even we were watching like videos from Hellfest and stuff like that. And was it Artshock or not Artshock? Grasspop.
Grasspop.
And it was that one band that was playing that Kruark
Anchen.
Yeah, and we were watching their performance. They look black metal and everything, but even their sound was bizarre.
They're very that Kruark Anchen.
Yeah,
I discovered them on that Hellfest. Yeah. I really dug them. I started listening to them on Spotify. They're very, you know, very Dimmu Borgir like, but a lot of their stuff, it's concept based, so it's pretty cool. And they're going to be touring. Let's talk about this real quick. The day I told my buddy, I'm like, hey, you got to check out this band. The announcement for the tour went live.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Karach. It's Carach. Angren. Yeah. So it's not Karacha. It's just Karach Angren, I guess. But Mors Principium Est, and one of my favorite discoveries of last year, one of my top albums of the year, Wolfheart, will be opening up. I'm definitely going to the show.
I don't know where Kruark is from, but having these two Finnish bands on there, there's a...
Karach. I don't know. We keep on saying it wrong.
These two, there's Mighty Finnish Tour.
Let's see where Karach are from.
I'm going to go to the show.
I am definitely going to the show.
Wolfheart's one of these bands I just never assumed that would be touring in the United States.
Me either, dude.
Just like, it wasn't even a consideration. You just have that feeling about certain bands, and you know, I've been proven wrong with Aeternum, who was another band I had pegged like that, who I just got to see the other month. So this will be great because I really love that Wolfheart album.
Me too, me too. I was listening to it again yesterday, actually.
Anticipation high for the show. You know, this band, we were just talking about UADA, and they're going to be here soon.
That is true. Let's talk about that.
Which I think I'm going to that show. I'm not 100% on that yet.
The Karach Angren, they are from the Netherlands.
Okay,
it's
cool.
You're going to dig this. You don't know what this is, huh?
No.
So in J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, Karach Angren is Sindarin for Iron Jaws, a fortified pass into Mordor.
That is a deep reference.
Very deep.
Sindarin is a language that's not really that well explored within the books itself.
The last album they had out was called 2017, last summer, June of 2017, Dance and Laugh Amongst the Rotten. It was the last album, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. But I think you would dig these guys if all their stuff is based on Tolkien.
I'm already excited about seeing them live just based on that clip we saw.
Yeah.
Great stage presence. Interesting to watch. Sure. I mean, you know, it's funny. Last time we had the podcast, I mentioned my theory about the two elements you need for a good show is anticipation or surprise, or one of the two. And the anticipation is already sky high for the show. It's down the road in October, 8 days after two weeks after we're going to go see Amorphis, which is already going to be the show of the year, possibly.
Yeah. A lot of Finnish bands coming.
Finland invading Houston all of a sudden.
That's right.
But that their stage performance, for me, it's like, yeah, give me something to watch on stage. When we saw Hammerfall, again, we're going to talk about it in depth later, but you can watch this guy, that guy, this other, you can watch the singer. Everyone's doing something. There's a lot of action on stage. It's a rock band. It's a stage performance. The fear I have with Uwata, because I've heard the music, and I do enjoy the music, I will say that. The fear I have with bands like this, because I've seen shows like this before, is that the stage show won't be that good. Because, you know, when you see a band live, we just stand still in place. That's the fear I have.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's some live footage that we can check out these guys. But I'm looking forward to seeing them, because I really got into them. And who are they touring with?
That I have no idea.
I know a buddy of mine's band is opening up. That's why I knew. That's how it got on my radar. And then I was like, you know what? Let me go check these guys out. And I was like, oh, yep, I love these guys. They are pretty awesome.
Like, I saw a video of Bellwitch playing Mirror Reaper live. And that was a top 10 Metal Pigeon album of the year. So I'm not criticizing the album. But what I'm saying is that when I saw the video of them playing live, it looked like the most boring show you could possibly imagine. And at some point, I saw one of the guys in the crowd who was, like, near the front of the stage, kind of turned around, like, looked around and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. You go to see a band live, and if they're just standing still playing their instruments, that's always a concern.
The touring with Wolvehammer and the Black Moriah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think both bands I need to check out.
Black Moriah I have heard before, I think.
July 14th.
I like that name.
That's coming up quick.
Yeah. It's Saturday, I think.
Yeah. Very cool. You want to talk about the other concert I went to here?
Yes.
The Farewell Slayer Tour at the Smart Financial Center in Sugar Land. A fancy venue for such utter brutality.
Yeah, it looked fancy from the pictures I saw.
It's a great theater. It sounded great. So I'm sure you guys know this tour. It's Testament. It's Behemoth. It's Anthrax. It's Lamb of God. And then it's Slayer. I'll start from the front. Testament did about 5 or 6 songs. They surprised me and played something from Low, which I was not expecting to hear something from that album.
Surprise, ching.
Yeah, for sure, man. They're great. I mean, Steve DiGiorgio and Gene Hoglan, the machine, make that fucking band.
Yeah.
Speaking of Eric Peterson, it has a new Dragon Lord album coming out.
Okay.
Dragon, is that right? Dragon Lord? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Dragon Land, Dragon Lord.
Right.
And that's on Spotify, the one song, and it's pretty fucking great. So I'm looking forward to that album. Okay. They haven't put an album in like 14 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while since the last album. But so after Testament, who fucking rocked it, they deserve a longer set with Behemoth. And it's weird to see Behemoth in a venue like that, but it was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what some of the people that were just who didn't know them thought about them. Because I mean, they were full regalia and like full into like the show, the spectacle.
Did they not get a big pop or anything?
They did. Okay. I think they did. But that's a band you want to see headline because they had that full spectacle of a show. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then Anthrax came out, and fuck, dude, they were on fire. I was so excited that Charlie Benante was on this show.
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, he has problems with arthritis really bad.
Yeah, he skips out a lot of tours.
Sometimes he doesn't play, sometimes he does. It depends on how he's feeling. But, man, I was super stoked to see them. Belladonna sounded great. Mm-hmm. Everybody was awesome. It was Father's Day when we saw it, so it was funny because you could see Pearl, Scott Ian's wife, sitting on the side of the stage with his kid. He has two kids now. One of the kids was – the older kid was just fucking dancing around the whole time. It was funny to see. Mm. I was emotional seeing them because I thought about it. I'm like, man, this is the metal band I've seen the most out of my entire life. This is probably close to – number 20 of seeing them live.
Jeez.
It's somewhere in the high teens, truthfully. And I think I've only missed one show ever, and that was I was out of town for a funeral.
Wow.
That was the only time I ever missed them. And now there's another time when they opened up for somebody else, and they were, I saw their set list and they only play like four or five songs. I'm like, yeah, I can't justify the amount of money to see that.
Right.
And after Anthrax was my break. That's when Lamb of God came on.
Okay.
that's when I did, I went out and did some shopping. I bought an Anthrax shirt. Anthrax and Slayer both had patch, collection of patches, like a three patch collection. The Anthrax one was really cool, but I wasn't going to buy the Slayer one because, you know, until I saw they had a reproduction of a fucking Show No Mercy
right
patch. I'm like, yep, I got to get that.
Got to get it. Yeah.
And the only other Slayer thing I bought was they had these fucking cups, like, you know how we drink out of my house, these little plastic cups. They had Slayer cups.
Nice.
I was like, all right, I got to get those.
Yeah.
When the hell are you going to find those?
Yeah.
Pour some nice alcohol in there and have a good time drinking out of your Slayer cup. You know what I mean? So I'm not a fan of Lamb of God. I'll admit they put on a, and there they are.
Oh, those are nice.
They're the cups from the other room.
Yeah.
They are cool, right?
Yeah. They're.
Should have put your water in that. It would have made it more evil.
Very decorative.
So, you know, Lamb of God, they're good at what they do. I'm just not a fan of them.
Right.
If you are, more power to you. If you haven't seen the video of the girl, I don't know, it's a Lamb of God concert recently doing the doing sign language to him. It's fucking phenomenal.
I saw a Red Hot Chili Peppers thing where there was a person doing sign language for him.
Well, no, this is even better. She is really into it.
Okay.
Y'all need to go Google this shit because it's really great. And then Slayer came on. You know, I've seen Slayer many, many, many times. Probably almost as many times as Anthrax.
Right.
Maybe. Very close. And I wasn't really sure. Okay, fine. This is their last show ever. I saw their set list. I'm like, oh, they're playing old shit. They're playing new shit, too, which some of it's okay. Some of it's not. But, man, they were literally on fire that night. Their stage show, I showed you video of this.
Yeah.
They had these firewalls, and they were going, oh, man, and everybody was really into it. Tom Araya, the last few times I've seen him, he's had neck problems. He was almost pretty clean shaven. He didn't have that huge beard. He was really into it. His family was there on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, he came out, and he was very emotional, and, you know, it was a great send off.
You get you sort of get the feeling that this is really the last time they're going to be.
This really could be it. I mean, they announced a show for next year, which is, I think, at Hellfest.
That might be,
But I mean, they're going to be able to do some rounding out a going away tour by doing these festivals next summer. By, hey, we're gonna play France. We're gonna play here. We're gonna play there, and not, oh, they're not really breaking up. No, I think it's time. I think it was sort of time when Jeff Hanneman passed away, but they kept on going. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard for these bands to do these reunion, to really nail it down. Like, freaking Motley Crue forced himself to sign these quote unquote contracts. I mean, you know,
for their no more touring and that bullshit.
Right. I mean, but you know, when the
I saw Ozzy do the no more tours back in the 90s.
I know. Yeah. But when the Scorpions announced it a couple years ago, they just keep on touring and touring. This is something they've been doing for so long. It's hard to let go. And so I sort of understand when these bands prolong it.
Yeah, I can understand, like, okay, you know what? We're done. I don't want to really tour anymore. I mean, it's just over.
Right.
But this is all they've known for the past 30-something years, you know? It's hard to get out of that.
Right, yeah.
And I can understand that for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, fucking phenomenal show. Expensive show. But fucking worth it.
Yeah. No, that's good. I'm glad it was good.
Yeah. You want to talk about Hammerfall now?
Sure.
Since we're on the show high?
Yeah.
All right. So I bought VIP tickets for this meet and greet for this show. And I was stoked for that because I didn't do it last time they were here. But for the meet and greet, I bought it during Black Friday last year. It's only $41 at enterthevault.com, which if you don't go to that website during Black Friday, you are missing out.
Yeah.
I bought tickets for Insomnium for under $10.
My Insomnium ticket was $8.50 because of that Black Friday sale. My Hammerfall too. Ticket was $15.50.
Yep.
And then I got some other tickets on it too. So, oh yeah, you save it's a lot of it. Money.
Yeah, I'm waiting for another sale so I can get the Amorphous meet and greet.
Do they do non other sales?
Sometimes they do.
Okay.
So if the Amorphous meet and greet is all four bands, which is pretty fucking phenomenal too.
Yeah.
I got I brought two drum heads to get signed. One by Hammerfall and one by Flotsam and Jetsam. I didn't want them to do both do the same one, so which is it's sort of like, I guess that's my OCD-ness of it. You know, I want one for each one.
Right.
Because I have a Devin Townsend project between them buried and me, same, they signed on the same one, and it sort of bugs me a little bit because I should have brought two, you know what I mean? But yeah, they're super humble. I got a weird group picture with like both bands. It was like way too many people for one photo. For especially the lighting and all that in the club, but they were very fucking cool. Got a poster, I got a vinyl signed, I got you a post. They had these like little postcard things.
Yeah, that's cool.
We might stick around because I might have a couple things signed to give away. Maybe one from Hammerfall and one from Flotsam and Jetsam.
You know, in Flotsam and Jetsam, who were great. That was my first time ever seeing them
me
live.
Too.
And they were just,
actually me too.
That was cool. And then their set list seemed very like organically constructed, just old school. And
they played a lot of old school stuff. They played stuff from like the mid 90 era, like Drift and stuff like that. And
which was my
Smoked
favorite.
Out. I love that song. And then like some of the newer stuff. And I'm like, man, these guys have not lost it. Eric AK he's a beast of a fucking vocalist.
Yeah, he's great.
But they weren't able to compare to what was going to happen next. And I think this is the last night of the show, of the tour. Everybody knew this. So like when Flotsam was playing, they're all wearing Hammerfall shirts. When Hammerfall played, they're all playing Flotsam and Jetsam shirts.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I thought that was fucking great.
Yeah. It's always nice to catch the end of a tour. It happens rarely in Houston because it's not really like an end of tour destination.
But we've seen it a couple times.
A few times I've gotten
Sabaton,
lucky.
Wasn't it?
Sabaton, I remember. Yeah, Sabaton Accept.
Yeah,
that was the end of tour here. A couple other bands I remember, but it usually happens on like the coast. Like if you live in Florida, you see a lot of end of tours because a lot of the major touring bus companies are there, so the buses go around the way and end up back in Florida, Fort Lauderdale and shit. So yeah, it's just great to see it, and because at the end of Hammerfall's set, when they play
Hearts on Fire.
Flotsam came on stage, and it was just this great metal moment of these two bands doing this one song.
Everybody out there singing, and Flotsam doing like the chorus vocals with them.
Yeah,
it was really cool to see. That was a really phenomenal moment, and it was just a week after, less than a week later, maybe like 3 or 4 days after I saw the Slayer show, and after I left that show, I'm like, man, all shows after this are going to fail in comparison because there's no firewalls. But Hammerfall did it.
And, you know, it was like a weekday night show. And I remember I was like maybe like, I don't know, 5-6 feet away from the stage, like two people deep. If I really wanted to go to the stage, I could have just walked a couple steps and touched the stage. But when the show was over, I looked behind me and there was like no one behind me. I'm like, oh, I thought there were like people behind me. But it was a small crowd.
Yeah.
Admittedly. I mean,
it wasn't that small, but
I mean,
could have been bigger.
Yeah, it was like, it's like you're really close to the stage and you turn behind you. There's no one there. You're like, oh, okay. But Hammerfall is the thing I've gotten to see them now twice in 2 years.
Yep, me too.
Somehow this time was even better than the first time, which I thought was the first time was amazing.
I thought the first, there's nothing like your first time.
Yeah.
Because the first time for me was a mind-opening experience.
This band delivers. And like I was saying earlier, they're just so entertaining to watch. You never get bored watching them. There's never a unentertaining moment. They're always doing something and having, they're just so enthusiastic about their being on stage and having fun, and those songs are so anthemic and I'm just singing along and pounding my fist, and it's everything you want from a concert, and it's it was such a great experience. If you haven't seen Hammerfall Live, and if you get an opportunity in the future, don't even debate it. Just go see it. You have to see them.
Cannot agree more. And as a little spoiler, as they ended their show with Hearts on Fire, so shall we.
Yeah, we haven't been doing those classic segments in a while.
Yeah, we need to start more than that. And I think that song is such a moment for me now because of that night. So, but let's get to the next band. We've talked about them earlier. Let's get more into
them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uada from their Portland-based band. If you like dig what you hear, they're on Spotify, but better yet, go to Bandcamp. Support them there. Buy the album through them and support these guys. Support metal in general. If you like something, I mean, we could talk about CDs pretty much going away from most stores like Best Buy now. And yeah. It's support the bands that you like. Buy them digitally, order their CD from them.
Or this band's on tour. By the time you hear the show, they might be near your city. I don't know what their routing is, but they might, you know, go see them live.
Yeah, they're starting the show. The tour started in June, so they're going till July 17th. So by the time you hear this, check them out.
Yeah,
they're playing Mexico. They're playing all over the country, Canada, playing 5 shows in Texas, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, Laredo, San Antonio, Austin, Houston, Dallas.
Nice.
Not a bad.
Good for Laredo.
Right. Hell yeah. Check out Wolfhammer and the Black Mariah. And when you're in Houston, if you come to the Houston show, check out our buddies in Wolf Skull.
Yeah.
He'll be opening up the show. But here is the song that we picked out called Snakes and Vultures. And this is from the brand new album called Cult of a Dying Sun. Check it out. Welcome back to the show, my friend. We are episode number 208 of MSR Cast, and we just listened to a band called Haunted Shores. Did you recognize that vocalist at all?
Yeah.
Who was
I
it?
I actually did. Well, he's one of your favorite guys.
It's my guy.
It's your guy.
My guy.
Yeah. Recognizable voice.
Let me talk about who Haunted Shores are a little bit. It's Mark Holcomb and Misha. He goes by Bulb Mansour from Periphery.
Yeah.
This is like a side project they've done. This is like their fourth or fifth album, something like that. Mostly instrumental type stuff. But this song features the one and only Mr. Devin Townsend. And I'm wondering if this has lit any kind of fires under his ass to do an album like this, because that'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's fit. His voice fits.
His voice fits perfectly for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. The song we heard was called Feed the Wolf / Norway Jose. Yeah. The album's called Viscera, and that's from the band called Haunted Shores. Featuring guys from Periphery. Yeah. Doing all their guitar wankery, fast stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
How are you in Periphery? Do you like them?
I like them. They're not one of my favorite bands. They're sort of on the...
Among the same ones, yeah.
You know, they're from the band that I listen to. They're sort of on the periphery of that.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, they're okay. I mean, I have nothing against them. I just...
Right, yeah.
I guess I haven't been exposed to them enough to become a fan.
Yeah, I've given them a shot. They just, for some reason, they just don't, yeah.
It's because they don't have Devin Townsend singing for them.
There you go.
I think this is
the answer.
Did it. So before that, we heard the band called Uada. Snakes and Vultures was the song. Cult of a Dying Sun is the album. Support these guys on tour and through Bandcamp and all that good stuff.
Is the album, it already came out, right, the album?
Yes, it's out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like we said, it's black metal in nature, but definitely,
other stuff.
Speaking of a band that's coming to town soon, Apostle of Solitude. I played this for you earlier.
Yeah.
You haven't heard these guys before, have you?
No, but I liked it. I liked what I heard. This is another kind of a side project type thing, right?
I'm trying to pull up their information right now. So they're doing a tour with Pale Divine, I believe, is the band. Let me double check and get some tour dates for you guys out there. But the show they're playing here in Houston is free. And it's like 1 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon at Dan Electro's Guitar Bar, which is in the Heights here in Houston.
Free show is nice.
Free shows are nice. These guys are from Indianapolis, Indiana. This is their fourth full-length album called From Gold to Ash. Let me pull up those tour dates as well. Keep on going.
I'm trying to think of other bands from Indiana, but the only thing I can think of is that Iced Earth were based in Indiana for a while.
True.
Who else is from Indiana? I just keep thinking of Parks and Rec references.
Okay. Of course you would.
Ron Swanson.
Let's see.
Leslie Knope. I know Lance Stevenson just signed with the Lakers. That's right. We're doing this on the night that LeBron signed to the Lakers. So that's where my Rockets fan enthusiasm is a little dampened tonight. But hey, he's going to have to go through the Rockets. How do you like that, LeBron?
I don't know what you're talking about.
We got some sports fans who listen to the podcast.
I'm sure we do. Is that sports ball, right?
It's one of the forums.
Okay.
I just got to say, I've been loving the World Cup.
Have you? I've been watching a little bit.
The irony is that the United States is not in it, but I've been loving it more than ever because I'm forced to pay attention to other teams. It's been great. Today was amazing. Russia beating Spain unexpectedly in penalty kicks. The drama was amazing.
That was very dramatic.
Yes.
It's a lot. And if you're a fan, I mean, okay, so Yeah, Pale Divine and Apostle of Solitude. The tour is called How the West Was Doomed. It's pretty great.
That's good.
They're playing Lafayette, Louisiana, Houston, at Dan Electro's, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, Fort Smith, Arkansas, Shreveport, Memphis, Indianapolis, and Chicago. There you go.
Nice little mix of some off-market
cities
there, Shreveport and stuff like that.
Yeah, in Lafayette, Louisiana. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing these guys. I really dig their style of doom. The song we're going to hear is called Ruination Be Thy Name from the album that just came out called From Gold to Ash. Let's get into it. Ready to doom on?
Well, doom on.
Let's do it. This is Apostle of Solitude, and then for standing after that, we'll get into some more metal.
Okay.
You see what I did there?
I saw. All right. They don't see yet, but I
saw. They'll see. We'll be right back.
There's a cold lonely light that shines from you. You're wild and black, the way you hide behind the mask you use. And if you think this world could never win, well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know, well, I'm still standing. You just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing, better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. Once I never could hope to win, you're starting down the road, leaving me again. The threats you made were made to cut me down. And if your love were just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. Don't you know I'm still standing, better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know I'm still standing, better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm still standing.
Are you?
Yeah.
Better than you've ever been?
Better than I've ever been.
Nice. I'm glad.
And really enjoyable cover.
Isn't it? It's weird, right?
And, no, you know, I think lately I've sort of been in that mode where I roll my eyes when bands do cover albums. Yeah. You know? But this one seems inspired and fun. There's an Elton John cover on here that's excellent.
So and
song choices are excellent.
We're talking about Mystic Prophecy. Which is, this is a weird off album because the last album they put out was like 2 years ago, 2016. But yeah, so the album's called Monuments Uncovered. So here's the list of bands that they've covered on this album. The Supremes, Donna Summer, Mike Oldfield, Lenny Kravitz, Elton John, Patti Smith, Monster Magnet, T-Rex, Tokyo, and Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Diverse.
Very diverse. I really love the Space Lord Monster Magnet cover.
Yeah.
If I had to pick my choice, that would have been it.
Okay.
But I let you pick, and you wanted to still be standing.
Yeah.
So you picked Elton John.
Yeah.
Elton John writes some poppy as hell music.
And doesn't get covered by a lot of metal bands.
No, knows? Not really.
Like, I
can you think of any?
Off the top of my head, no. Maybe Advance did something, but I don't know.
They did a lot of ABBA.
Someone did Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, right?
Wasn't that Flotsam and Jetsam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
They did. Like on the second album, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, all right.
All right. Okay, so that's the only two bands we can think of. And it's been, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
25, 30 years since that?
I'm sure there's
one?
Something obvious we're missing, but
yeah.
It's late.
But yeah, so I'm Still Standing was definitely an Elton John cover. I saw Elton John when I was a kid.
Really?
Did not appreciate it.
Yeah.
My parents brought me to the show with Elton John and Billy Joel. And I was just like, oh, why are my parents bringing me to this stupid show?
Right.
And then years later, I'm like, you go back and listen to it. Some of these Elton John albums are pretty proggy and like out there and pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not the, you know, overly popular, you know, radio friendly shit that he did. But there are some things out there that were very, very off the wall and strange. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like very, very prog rock.
Right. Yeah.
Which you wouldn't think, but
he was a zany guy. Zany music.
He's the best spy that I know.
Yeah.
You saw that movie, right?
I think so. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The
latest Kingsman movie, he's a big part of it.
I didn't see the new one.
That's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's funny because when I saw the previews for that come out, I don't know why we're talking about this now, but I saw the previews for it come out. I kind of forgot that the first one existed. I'd seen the first one, and yeah. I just forgot. I was like, oh, yeah, that movie that I saw.
I hope you didn't forget about the first band we played.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, great riff.
Apostle of Solitude.
Great meaty riff.
They're so raw and so natural. The drum sound on this album, it's so that you made a comment. You can hear the natural reverb in the room. And,
yeah.
It's just the perfect production for a doom band. I'm over the
very organic.
Sound. Yeah.
Like the instrument. It's weird to say that because people are like, well, yeah, it's organic, but no. But when you hear how,
yeah.
when you, in comparison to how things can be ultra processed and ultra polished
and
quip drums.
And this is this style of music, this slow, you know, doom with great riffs, and it needs to have that natural sound, that rawness to it.
I just like that riff, and I like the tempo to the riff. It's like very like
it's still in your head,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's right now, and it's very it's like deliberate, you know. And
yeah,
and I was saying that it reminded me of the Sorcerer album last year that we were all raving about and stuff.
Yep.
Like the yeah. So I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
So I guess this is the sad part of the show. No, we have to do this
once again.
Once again, we have to say goodbye to another fallen metal god, really. So last weekend, as a recording is from last weekend on Friday, we lost Vinnie Paul. It was weird how I found out about it. How did you find out?
Someone had a random Twitter post about something related to Vinnie Paul, and it was written in such a way where I knew immediately that's what they. I was like, oh, good God, this thing. And so I looked up the news really quickly, and sure enough, it was the case. And the worst way to find out about these deaths is through social media. I know there's no other way to now. But like it used to be where you'd hear, just read a headline and the headline would hit you.
Right.
But now you're finding out by like someone on your Twitter feed or something posting their reaction to it. And all you get first is their reaction. And so your mind races of like, oh no. Or you see their name trending.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the worst way is when you see that damn name trending. You're like, I hope they're doing a new movie or something. You know.
We were driving home from the in-laws and I was driving and my wife was. I guess she got on her phone and got on social media and she saw something. And she's like, wait, what? And this is like very early in the news portion of it. And we're waiting for a confirmation and it's, yeah. Are you a big fan or were you a fan back in the day? 'Cause I know everybody, coming from Texas, do you have to be a fan of Pantera?
It's something I think that is unique to metal fans who grew up as metal fans in Texas. Pantera was part of the identity of being a metal fan in Texas.
Most definitely.
Even if they weren't your favorite band, and Pantera are not in my top 10 favorite bands of all time or anything
either.
But it was just one of those things where you're proud of the fact that they were from Texas. And a song like Cowboys from Hell was a statement at the time when it came out of, you know, of this band that would be normally dismissed, and they're coming with all this attitude, and it's like, yes, it's harder down here, it's hotter down here.
I got a couple stories about Pantera. Cowboys from Hell came out in 1990. I was a sophomore in high school. A friend of mine had taken me to see this band that she was into. Didn't really know who they were. And I'd never really been to a club type of show like this before. It was at Cardi's over here on Bissonnette. And this was before Cowboys from Hell even came out. This is when they were like still touring off like power metal. And yeah, I got to see them there in like small show, you know. And they're like, yeah, we're going to play songs off this upcoming album and blah, blah, blah. And I loved it. I was like, these guys are fucking phenomenal. Jeez,
Pantera, Cardi's. That's unreal.
And when the first album came out, when Cowboys from Hell came out, because if you don't know, if you think Cowboys from Hell is the first album from Pantera, it's not. They had four albums before that: Metal Magic, Projects in the Jungle, I Am the Night, and Power Metal. Power Metal was the first album with Phil Anselmo singing on it. And that was the album he was power metaling his ass off. Go back, and if you can go find that, it's
on YouTube.
Yeah, it's fun to listen to. There's some great tracks on that album. There really are. There's some great tracks through everything they did. The first three albums were more, I want to say, it's early 80s, like, cock rock. It's like, right. A lot of it sounds like Rat.
Of the era.
And, yeah. And I'm not saying that in any kind of bad way, because it's fun.
Look at Alice in Chains before that, their first record.
Yeah.
Like, look at that early era of Alice. It's the same thing. It was of the time.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. A lot of people still say they stole their sound from Exorder and all that, but, you know, whatever.
Maybe they did, but they wrote their own songs.
Right.
If they got their sound from Exorder, fair enough.
Cowboys from Hell, man, that was a life-changing album for me. It really, really was. So I remember having a cassette version of it, and me and my buddy Scott, we would sit there in gym, and we would listen to these tapes, and we would listen over and over and over and like try to memorize all the lyrics. We did that with the Beastie Boys, and we did that with Cowboys from Hell. We listened to that album so many times. We were so happy and proud that we knew all the lyrics to Cowboys from Hell, the actual song. And then like Cemetery Gate, we were like, we know this song before it was popular and shit, you know what I mean? We were Pantera young hipsters, I guess. We were like, you know, 14, 15. But man, I absolutely loved Cowboys from Hell. I still do like that album a lot. I haven't listened to it a lot in the past recent years, but I listened to it right after, you know, when Dime passed and then when Vinny passed. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna revisit the stuff, and it still holds up as a phenomenal album.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people got into them on Vulgar, which I like Vulgar a lot, but for me, Cowboys from Hell is my album from that band. That's the epitome of that band to me, even though it's not what got them huge.
Right.
It got them their start, but, you know.
It was the first Pantera album I ever owned.
Yeah.
And then I think I got Far Beyond Driven after that, and then I went and got everything else. But, yeah, I mean, it was... it's just
when Cowboys came out, they were doing an in-store at a head shop type place, you know, where they used to go. Same place I met Sepultura back in the day. It was like on the Arise tour when they were here.
Yeah.
I don't have a picture of the Pantera thing, but I do have the original first three cassettes of Metal Magic, Projects in the Jungle, and I Am the Night autographed by the band. And then I have Power Metal autographed by the entire band. This was before Cowboys from Hell even came out. It had not even been an actual physical release yet. And I have this. I treasure these tapes because I'm never going to get rid of them. But I pulled them back out the other right after Vinny passed, and you know Vinny signed them all, and Dimebag even signed the Metal Magic. It was going by Diamond Daryl back in the day. But Vinny wrote on one. No, Rex actually wrote on one, Oldie But a Goodie. And I feel lucky to have these autographed sayings.
Yeah.
From this band. I mean, two of the members are now gone.
Yeah.
It's sad to think that way, but it's true.
And I think there was always, at least I felt this way, that it was almost an inevitability that at some point he and Phil would talk to each other, and then there would be some sort of discussion of, hey, why don't we just do like a commemoration to Don,
a memory show, yeah,
and why don't we, you know, have Zach on stage and let's just do one show, you know, and that would be like a nice send off to the band and to the fans and to Dime's memory, and then that would be like the end, and then so this kind of feels incomplete. Not that that's the most important thing, but it's just sad. It sucks.
At the recording, they had a public service today. He's going to be buried in a kid's casket,
right
next to his brother,
yeah,
and his mother. I feel sorry for what's his dad's name, Jerry Abbott, his dad, because he's lost both of his kids.
Yeah,
that's a tough thing to go through.
It sucks,
man.
And I do feel bad for Rex and for Phil too, you know, because it's, I know people have weird opinion, you know, everyone has differing opinions on Phil, but this is still, you know, Rex and Phil, this is a friend of theirs, you know,
definitely.
And I'm sure that he kind of had hope that at some point they could bury the hatchet, you know, I know he said as much, so maybe even if Vinny didn't say the following, yeah. So. Yeah, it sucks.
Well, the two brothers are now together again. I bet that's going to be a killer band they're going to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that for Texas fans in particular, for just Texas metalheads, this one's particularly painful, I think.
I think, yeah, Texas is very proud of having the ownership of Pantera.
Yeah.
I mean, they... Don't get me wrong. Everybody in the fucking world knows and loves this band. But people here in Texas, even if you're not really a big fan, you still have a sense of ownership and a sense of pride that somebody from our area got to this level. I'm sure the same people that you know, were Metallica from San Francisco or whatever, LA.
Yeah, if you're an original
Metallica,
Bay Area metalhead,
I mean, you know, it's the same thing.
And I don't know if it's like this in any other part of the country. Someone needs to tweet at us or something, but...
At MSRcast.
But 9 out of 10 metal shows you go to in Houston or in San Antonio or anywhere in Texas, they will be playing Walk or something from Pantera before the bands go on. It's just one of those things you get used to hearing.
Yep.
It's like the sound of the cash register at the bar. It's just part of the environment. And everyone's, you know, sort of... gives their little shout outs at the right appropriate times.
Right, at one point at Cardi's, when Cardi's 2000 was still open, before every band they would play, for some reason, for like a year straight, they would always play Reinventing the Steel over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
It's like the only album they had.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but
it's like, all right, guys, we got it. We know you have this album. Let's get to something else now.
Yeah.
It's like no matter what band was playing.
Yeah.
It's great, but we're gonna do a little tribute to Vinny. I've only met him that one time, but I saw Pantera many times live, and they always put on a hell of a show. So we're gonna get into a song that you picked from Reinventing the Steel. We're gonna get into Revolution Is My Name. Why did you pick this song?
I just always love this song. I don't know why. I mean, it's not. I know it's not like one of the all time favorites or anything, but. I don't know why. I think this album's underrated, actually. I think this is a really strong album.
It's a different album.
And I think that if you rank Pantera albums in order, at least if I do, this would be in the top three Pantera albums for me.
And we're not ignoring his other band that he was in, like Damage Plan, that he was in with his brother, and Hell Yeah. We're just not... fans of those said bands, even though Damage Plan I can handle a little bit more than Hell Yeah, but for me Hell Yeah was always a hell no.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's like just not my style.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Mudvayne fan either, and that's right. What one of the main things that probably threw me off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But we're not here to disparage or talk bad about anything. We're here to remember. And hopefully everybody has good memories of Vinny and his music. Let us know what he means to you. You can tweet at us at MSRcast. Email us, MSRcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, all at MSRcast. But after Revolution Is My Name, the song I picked out is called Message in Blood. Deep Cut from Cowboysman Hell, second half of the album, which is probably my favorite part of that album. Medicine Man and, you know, Message in Blood.
Oh, I forgot about Medicine Man.
It's such such a phenomenal phenomenal album. You're going to listen to it on the way home, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this is my pick from Cowboys from Hell, and there might be a surprise thrown in here somewhere tonight. Stick around. You might hear some old Pantera somewhere. Let's get into our tribute to Vinny, and rest in peace, sir. You will be missed.
Yeah.
Big bucket of wind.
Big bucket.
We'll be right back. I'm
That was a somber ending to the show. We have one more song that we're going to pep it up with a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was our tribute to Pantera and Vinnie Paul there. Yeah, one of my favorite songs from that album and one of your favorite songs from that era.
Yeah.
Era. So, cool. Thanks. So we're going to end the show, of course, with some Hammerfall.
Yes.
But I wanted to do a little house cleaning here before we end the show. Of course, we already mentioned before, you can find us on all the social medias at MSRcast, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. If you want to send us a message, email, request, if you want us to talk about something, play a band on the show, MSRcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us and all that good social media stuff.
and some input from you guys on what do you think the best albums of the first half of this year have been. Anything we've missed that we're
yeah.
haven't covered.
I find new stuff I missed all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that that you know, it's that came out earlier in the year that I still have to go and investigate. So we need some help on this department.
I just discovered this band through, of course, that drummer guy who I discover a lot of shit from, our good friend Josh over there. This band called The Sea Within. I just didn't think it fit in this episode, but Daniel Gidenlaw from Pain of Salvation is in this band. It's pretty cool, proggy stuff.
Yeah.
I really liked this album a lot. I think you would probably dig it too.
I think you were playing it earlier.
Yeah,
I was nodding my head to it. Yes,
it's not super super duper heavy, but it's really great songwriting.
Yeah,
yeah. But there's other things like that. I always discover something new that I really get into. But I don't know. What about you? Where can people find you?
Metal Pigeon, The Metal Pigeon at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and MetalPigeon.com.
What do you have coming up for your articles?
I'm thinking about doing one of those Metal Pigeon recommends features. I'm just trying to narrow down what artists I want. It's been so long since I've done one, like 2 years or something, so it's overdue. It is sort of a lull in new releases.
Should be Hammerfall.
But I'm going to have a Night Flight Orchestra review coming up pretty soon.
Oh, cool. I'll be interested to hear that. I need to listen to that full album now.
You know, the Hammerfall thing is an interesting idea, but I think one of the things that the power metal subreddit is talking about is what are the best power metal ballads of all time, and that was something I was thinking about doing. Hammerfall would be on that list. In fact, the thing that Hammerfall didn't play any ballads live, but their closing music, if you remember, mm-hmm. was Dreams Come True off the Crimson Thunder album,
right?
Which I love that song. And I remember standing there going, oh, I wish they played that. But they had it as their outro music, which is right. weird. But yeah, anyway.
I don't know if a ballad would have fit the mood.
Maybe not. It was a very party metal night, but
it would have sort of brought it down a tad.
Maybe, but the fanboy in me wanted to hear that.
Well,
or
yeah, of course.
Always Will Be or something, yeah.
Who Always Will Be would have been good.
Oh, great choice. Great video. Great stupid video.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hammerfall is not known for making the most the best music videos. They're always, oh yeah, this is it's pretty great though.
The if you haven't seen the Hearts on Fire video with the Swedish curling team,
right?
You need to do yourself and your life a favor by watching that, because it is objectively terrible, but in spirit, it's one of the best things you'll ever see.
And it'll be stuck in your head for forever and ever, like it will be after you listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Any other things you wanted to end up with?
Just keep it metal.
And well, I did want to say one last time that we are now officially on Spotify.
Yes, keep it metal on Spotify.
Keep it metal on Spotify. Tell all your friends. You can share that you're listening to us. You can post it on
Facebook. We're streaming on Spotify. None of this downloading business anymore.
All this talk about how much shit I listen to on Spotify. Now we're part of it.
Yeah.
I'm super, super excited for that.
Now there's no excuse.
Of course, you can still find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Review us. You can find us on Stitcher. And you can find us on Google Play. All the places you can, and all the apps that you could listen to your podcast through. You can just search for MSRcast or Metal Geeks, and we will pop up there for you.
Yep.
So, are you ready to get your heart on fire?
It's already.
Like a Slayer show?
Already on.
Like a Slayer show, man. Here you go. Hammerfall, and one last thing I got to say.
Keep it metal.
What you said. What did you say? Ruled above us all, tormented, we still heard the call.
Nerds. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.